Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, take our place in sin, sickness, and in poverty. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us into the supernatural properly. So we yield to you tonight. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and this training center. Thank you for every student that is represented here, not only here in Darrell, but those that are watching by internet and those that are watching in our Orlando satellite campus. We give you glory and honor, Father, and may your word be illuminated to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you would, turn with me to chapter 1 in the Lives of Honorable Men, and we'll start there. The last two times we were together, I took time to emphasize how we have to shift from a self-centric gospel to a God-centric gospel. So that means that once you get born again, it's no longer about you. It's about Him. You no longer have to wonder about what God is going to do for you. You need to start wondering what you're going to do for Him. All right, and so we had to redefine faith. All right. So faith is not something that we use to get what we want. Faith is used to please God. The only way you can please somebody is if that you do what they want. If you don't do what they want, you can't please them. So the object of our faith is not to please ourselves, but to please Him. So in saying that, to give you understand how really easy it is to walk with God and to follow God and to live for God, as simple as this. Romans 10:9-10, 10:8-10. That's how we got born again, correct? It says we got to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and what it says, thou shalt be saved, right? So here how simple it is. The end process is born again, to be saved, right? The beginning process where you were a sinner. Yes. To get to the end process, you had to do something. And what was that? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, right? So other words, we had to properly respond to God's instructions. So faith, watch this. Faith is just simply properly responding to God's instruction. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen because it's already provided what's going to happen. Any problem that you have, any problem that you face, any situation that you may come across, we already know what we want the end result to be. All right. If you're sick, what's the end result you want it to happen? You want to be healed, right? All right. If you got family trouble, what's your end result you want it to be? You want peace. You want it to be resolved. So you already know what the end results you want it to be. And guess what? Jesus already paid the price for the end results. That's what he meant when he said it is finished. See, it's not that we're looking for the end results. We know what we want the end results to be. The question is, how do we get to the end results? And so we get to the end results by properly responding to God's instructions. That's faith. That's what faith is. Properly responding to God's instructions. So it's no longer us having to, watch this, hear what I'm saying. It's no longer us having to work to get to end results. It's us having to properly respond to God's instruction. So there's nothing I can do to change my situation, because I'm probably the one called the situation. But I can respond to God. And I can give God the permission to come in the earth realm and change it for me to get to the end results. So that's what faith is. So now faith is no longer about us, it's about him. That's why Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance, it brings into reality the dreams of God, right? And is the evidence of things not seen. See, your victory may be in the future, but your answer is in the present. How many understood what I just said? Your victory may be in the future. You may be sick now and your healing may be in the future, but your answer is in the now. Faith, now faith is. Mm-hmm. See, when here's the thing. If you can get God to speak to you, and guess what? He always talking to you. If you can get God to speak to you and he's always talking to you and you can hear his instructions, when you get those instructions, when you get that chance to properly respond to him, that is the evidence of what you don't see. How many understand what I just said? When you respond, let's see if I can give you a great example of this. Moses holding up the rod was evidence of the Red Sea opening. That now makes more sense. If he had not held up the rod, the Red Sea would have never opened. But because he heard God and God told him, stretch out your rod, that was evidence that something was getting ready to happen. Amen. Are you seeing this? So that's why it says now faith in this present moment is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The only reason why you ain't see it is because it's in the future. But you could be in the future by doing what God asked you to do now. I hope that's making sense. All right, so now, if you're in a situation, you no longer need to be looking for an answer of what you can do to rectify the situation. You need to be finding out from God, I'm here for you. What you want me to do? I can't change the situation. I can't do nothing about it. So God, ain't no sense. Watch this. Ain't no sense in me focusing on it. Another word for focus is worry. Ain't no sense in me worrying about it anymore. There's nothing I can do to change it. So God, I'm going to just turn my attention to you. Is that making sense? So here we in chapter 1, the author begins to talk about church unusual. This is important because we're going to talk about Jacob. Jacob had to learn this lesson, and it took him a while to learn this lesson. The first statement in this chapter is one of the most powerful statements that you will hear all year. There is a supernatural side to church not accessible to those that dwell in the flesh. There's a supernatural side to church. In other words, it's not just about us coming together. It's not about us just ritually coming together on a Sunday or a Tuesday night Bible study or a Wednesday night Bible study. There is a reason why we come together. And that we come together because we want to enter into the supernatural. We want to position ourselves that the portals of the supernatural are open so that God can pour out what he wants to pour out on us. Mm-hmm. All right. So when we come to church, we can't come to church expecting the same old, same old. This is why you have to have a leader that's willing to change things up. Amen. You can't come to church knowing that we're going to sing praise and worship for 15 minutes. After the 15 minutes, then I know they're going to do the announcements. After they do the announcement, then I think they're going to receive the offer. That's what they usually do. And after they receive the offer, they're going to sing another song. After they sing another song, then pastor will come and preach to us. Pastor going to preach to us 35 minutes. After pastor preaches us to 35 minutes, then the doors of the church are going to be open. Then once the doors of the church be open, then he's going to give us the benediction and we're done. So now I have done my duty for the week. So now I've done my duty for the week. Ain't no telling what I'm about to face during the week that I'm going to need revelation knowledge to face. I have gotten nothing. Why? Because we haven't even tapped into the supernatural. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not able to come and rearrange stuff. Are you seeing this? So we have to become and get used to having church unusual. Other words, there's a certain place. Even though we might be in a certain place at a certain address doing a certain thing, if we don't become aware that God wants to enter, wants us to enter into the supernatural. Listen at me now. God wants us to enter into the supernatural, and the supernatural wants to enter into the natural. Yes, yes, yes. If we don't realize that needs to happen, then we will go through the motion without none of that ever happening. Turn to Genesis, the 28th chapter. See, this is the importance of praise and worship, because it sets the atmosphere, it creates an atmosphere. The Bible says it. I don't know why people don't take more time to understand praise and worship, because the Bible plainly says that God inhabits or that's his habitation. That's where he moves into. That's where he lives. He inhabits the praises of his people. So the reason why we have to set an atmosphere is because we know God is omnipresent, but we want God to manifest. See, God is not going to manifest anywhere that he's tolerated. Sometimes we go to church and God is tolerated. I was teaching our master life bearers and our life bearers, and we was talking about how sin has no dominion over us, and how we shouldn't be afraid of sin. We shouldn't be afraid of to deal with issues, because sin is not something contagious. Sin is not contagious. It's not contagious. Sin is something that is decided to do, that you decide to do. It is not contagious. So just because you sit next to a sin person in sin don't mean it's going to jump on you. We are children of light. Every time light shows up, sin is supposed to be, watch this, sin is supposed to be exposed. Darkness, light exposes any darkness and brings to light anything that needs to be brought to light. I was talking to the life bearers and the master life bearers, and we were talking about that. And I begin to tell them that apostle, listen to this, apostle sets the parameters, but we set the tone. Okay. Now, I want you to explain what I mean, but I'm just dealing with church unusual. Apostle sets the fence line or the boundaries, but we have to set the tone in the place. Other words, let me give you an example. If the Holy Spirit does come in, in which we want him to, and change the service in a different direction, an apostle or pastor or whatever spiritual leader that you're following moves in a certain direction, now at that moment is not the time to be questioning, is this God? That ain't the time. Because I've been in too many services where God wanted to do something, and because the people either didn't know or wasn't sure or didn't trust the leader enough to go, that God couldn't do what he wanted to do. Why? Because the people held him up. Wow. So what I mean, we can't come to church expecting ABC. Right. 1, 2, 3. Right. Jacob, as we're getting ready to read, when Jacob began to realize that God's presence was there, that's when he began to see into the supernatural. But he had to first realize that God's presence was there. If you don't ever want to recognize that God's presence is in a place, then he has no reason to let you know he's there. Genesis, the 28th chapter and 11th verse. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord thy God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whether thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And listen to this. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Other words, until we recognize that God is in a place, we won't be able to see him reveal himself. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Unless God touches our spiritual eyes, ears, and heart, we will not be able to access the supernatural. God has to touch our eyes, our ears, and our heart. If God doesn't touch them, then we won't be allowed to be into the supernatural. Now, the touch there, it really means to rearrange. It really means to rearrange. Rearrange what? Your thought pattern. Rearrange your agenda. Rearrange what you think ought to happen. Rearrange how you think it ought to happen. Until that happens, then we cannot go into the supernatural. God has to be the one to touch our eyes, our ears, and our heart. If that doesn't happen, you cannot enter the supernatural. You can't just go into the supernatural on your own. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to escort us into the supernatural. That's why Jesus told them, his last words to them was, do not leave this place until you have received the Holy Spirit. Because without the... Let me explain to you the spirit world. There's so much going on in the spirit world. So much going on in the spirit world. You cannot keep it up. You cannot keep up with what's going on in the spirit world with your mental thinking. There's so much going on, so much happening that you will. That's the problem with people who trying to solve mind issues with a human mind, called psychiatry, psychologists. They dab so close to the supernatural that they get off of the supernatural and get lost. Because you're going someplace that you need to be escorted to. See, you got to be escorted to the supernatural. You can't just stomp at the supernatural and think you're going to know what's going on. You have to be led into the supernatural. See, if you're not led into the supernatural, you'll see one, think you're seeing one thing and it's something else. I hope you listen to that, internet. You have to be led. You have to be escorted. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So that's why God has to touch our eyes, our ears, and our heart. How many hear me? God gave Jacob the access code and allowed him to see the other side of the physical place where he was lying. Now that's powerful. Right here, right now, where we are, we're in the physical. But there's also a parallel spiritual world that is residing right among us. That is dictating what happens in the natural. And we have to have an access code. It is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no access to the supernatural. In Jacob's dream, he was transacting with God. He was communicating, negotiating, and having communion with God. The revelation of God, his presence, his promise, his provision, his protection, and his purpose were all made known to Jacob from the spirit realm. No, God said, the land you land on, the land that you land on right now, I'm going to give it to you. Your seed is going to be at the dust of the ground. In other words, you ain't going to be able to number them. I'm going to bless you and I'll bless all, those with you until all the families of the earth are blessed. I ain't going to leave you. All of these assurances came from the supernatural. You will not be able. This is why we have to have church unusual, because when we meet together, our assurances can't come because we just heard a good word. Our assurance is going to have to come because we know we made contact with the supernatural. We've had experiences with God. The most important thing that you can do, listen to me, the most important thing that you can do, or rather have, is experiences with God. Never discount your experiences with God. This is why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Because when we come together, there's an opportunity for us to experience God. When you get a hold of learning how to experience God as a corporate body, it makes it easier to experience God as an individual. When you come to church and you have supernatural experiences, you become accustomed to what should be going on, what should be happening, how I enter into his presence, so that you can duplicate that on your own turn, on your own time. And now Satan can't come in and trick you like it's the presence of God, because you've experienced the presence of God. How many see this? Many people get tripped up by the supernatural because anytime you have a Christian that come up with this stupid statement saying, I don't need to go to church, I contact God all by myself. The devil loves that. The devil loves that. You know why the devil loves that? Because they don't know who they contacted God or not. How you know you contacted God? You've never experienced. How you know you contacting him? The Bible talks about that Satan can appear as an angel of light. So if I'm not ever in it, watch this. If I'm not ever, here's Church Unusual. If I'm not ever in an atmosphere of supernatural accountability, How am I ever going to learn the difference between God's supernatural and Satan's supernatural? See, here it is. Jacob lying. Jacob is asleep. And God, ladder coming up, from going up to heaven. Angel coming down, going up and coming down. And then all of a sudden, God started talking to him and telling him, watch this. Now, watch this. I'm talking about experiencing God. I'm talking about, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm talking about spiritual accountability. God began to tell him the same thing he told Abraham. Yes. Yes. Now, watch this now, watch this. How was Jacob able to know and recognize it was God? Because he recognized it was the same language that Abraham had been speaking. So watch this. Having supernatural accountability in Church Unusual is necessary for us to grow. If we don't have that supernatural accountability, we can't grow. We'll leave ourselves guessing. Jacob woke up from his sleep. Watch this now. Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely, what he said, surely, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and it is a gate of heaven. He had a chance to experience God, but he was able to recognize it because he had accountability. Is that making sense? See, so this is why you have to, when we come to church, you shouldn't have one expectation. I'm coming to see God. Now you see why you can't come to church. God, I need to get my word. Or God, I come to get my needs met. Or God, I'm just coming here because I know it's the right thing to do. See, my expectations when I come in and meet my fellow brothers and sisters, I'm coming to experience God. God, what you going to say today, God? What you going to do this? What you going to say? What, God, what you going to say this morning? God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, I'm open to it. You see, that's how Jacob was. Jacob was open. He wasn't closed-minded. He was open. Open to whatever God wanted to do. And so when God came in and began to talk to him, he was able to receive it. Every time, watch this, every time we gather together, we have the greatest opportunity to cross over to the other side. Wow. Every time we get together is an opportunity to cross over to the supernatural. We have the divine privilege to be caught up in the presence of God, where we hear things and experience things others are not permitted to experience or hear. We must learn to look for the presence of God and not an appearance of the presence. Do you realize that rat poison is 99% what the rat likes and 1% strychnine? Think about that. How else would you attract the rat? What's my point for saying that? My point for saying it is that Satan is the master deceptor. He's the master of deception. So therefore, Satan's not going to come to you in his red suit with his horns, with his pitchfork. But he will come looking almost like the real thing. But it's going to have one element of something that he wants to throw you off. There are people in churches all across America that Satan is satisfied with their church status quo. Because they're allowing emotionalism to be substituted for the supernatural. In other words, if they get goosebumps, the Spirit of the Lord is here. And that's not necessarily so. That's the hardest pill for some people to swallow. Just because you bucking don't mean God there. All right. It doesn't. Amen. That's the hardest pill we have to swallow. Do you know, your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act, and your action leads to results. All right, I'm gonna say that again. Your environment produces your thoughts. This is important for what I'm about to say. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act, and your actions lead to your results. What emotions, when you go to a church that's full of emotions, all they're doing is triggering past thoughts of the presence of God. Therefore, it leads to certain feelings. Then it leads to certain actions. Now you're going to a certain result. So in other words, if I make this certain statement and I hum it right, I'm going to trigger certain thoughts in your mind. When I trigger those certain thoughts, you're going to begin to produce certain feelings that mimic. So now your feelings are mimicked, you're mimicking. So now you start leading certain actions. Now you're bucking. And it leads to certain results. Nothing. As compared to not, don't get me wrong, the same thing happens when the presence of God is there, but the difference is revelation does it. See, revelation does it. See, that's the difference. When revelation produces certain thoughts, your thoughts, those thoughts produce certain feelings. Those feelings cause you to act. And those actions produce results. The results of what? Of what the revelation wants to produce. So just because emotions hit the church don't mean that God's presence is there. So you hear a lot of people say, man, God's presence is in the place. It really wasn't. Really well. You know when you can tell God, you can know when you tell God's presence in a place? When the people that was in that presence leave and go home and they come back different. See, if you leave a certain place and come back the same way, ain't nothing happened. See, revelation causes your life to change. You can't get revelation but in the supernatural. So sometimes there are going to be moments in church when it seems like it's dead as a doorknob. Because you ain't running, you ain't shouting, you ain't jumping. But all the time, God is killing you. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You see? See, we can't equate the supernatural to people running. We can't equate the supernatural to wildfire. I like wildfire. I like running. I'll run in a minute. Don't give me no difference. I'll run in a minute. But I want to make sure I'm running for something. If I'm going to expend the oxygen, it's going to be for a reason. And I ain't that much in shape. So if I'm going to run and be breathing our heart, it's going to be for a reason. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, we have to understand that God, watch this, God has to touch our eyes. God has to touch our ears and God has to touch our hearts. If he don't do it, we're not in the supernatural. We're going through the motions, but we're not where we're supposed to be. I hope y'all are hearing this, because we have to understand the difference between a church that's going to the supernatural and a church that's mimicking the supernatural. We don't want to be the church that mimics the supernatural. We want to be the church that's in the supernatural. Here's another aspect of church unusual. When you're in the supernatural and you leave out the supernatural, you have a confidence and a knowing that you've been with God and that something is about to change.
That's right. Yes, sir.
When Jacob woke up out of that sleep, he knew God was in that place and he knew things were about to change. Now watch this. Jacob spent 20 more years going through trouble, going through crazy situations, different things of that nature. Then he had another encounter. This time with God, this is where God touched him. Took that hip out of joint. Do you know what that represented? That represented him being disconnected from relying on his flesh. See, just because we go into the supernatural don't mean we're going to come out supernatural. You got to want to come out supernatural, meaning that you got to die to self. This is why we have to shift from a God, from a self-centric gospel to a God-centric gospel, because you got to die. The reason why Jacob had heard from God, had heard from God, had a dream. He said, God was surely in this place, and I knew he wasn't here. I didn't realize he was here, but he was here. God gave him all them promises, but he did not walk in none of those promises until 20 years later when he finally decided to give in to God's plans for his life and kill his flesh. His walk changed. His name changed. You cannot go into the supernatural without the mind. You can't go into the supernatural with the mindset that I'm going to come out the same. You can't go into the supernatural. Why? Because you will come out the same. You must go into the supernatural with the mindset, God, rearrange, adjust anything you need to adjust. Anything at all. I do not want to remain the same, God. I want you to mold me like you want to mold me. See, this is why churches want to be run by Robert Rules of Order. The greatest government that has ever existed was a theocracy. Explain to you what a theocracy is. It's very simple. A theocracy is God in control, period. Because we got democracy. We got communism. We got all these forms of government. The church cannot be run by democracy. Majority rule can't be run like that. Can't be run like that. The last time God was in total control of a group of people, he brought them out from slavery. Not one of them was sick, and they all was rich. I have not seen another government do that yet. I haven't seen it. So we cannot have, if church unusual, if we're going to go into the supernatural, it cannot be a church. I cannot be a part of a group of people that want to run the church. People who do not want to allow theocracy to take place in the church are people who do not want to change. Don't want church unusual. Don't want things, they just want to control and be an authority and make sure things don't get out of hand. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants things to get out of hand. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants things to get to a place where we can't control them so that we can rely on him. Jacob's encounter at Bethel became the bedrock of his journey. Other words, when God took that, because he grabbed that angel. Now he was in the flesh. And he grabbed that angel. And told the angel, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. And look, he had to be pretty strong. But then when that angel dislocated that hip, dislocated that joint, ain't nothing he could do. Other words, what God is saying and was using Jacob to say is, we have got to kill the will of the flesh. If you don't kill the will of the flesh, then you will not be successful in the supernatural. Hope you're listening to me, that if you do not kill the will of the flesh, you will not be successful in the supernatural. Things are just not going to go your way in the supernatural. God always knows a better way. That experience with that angel, it's mighty funny how from that point on, Jacob didn't have any more issues. Isn't that funny? From the point he had experience with that angel, he didn't have any more issues. From the moment that his flesh had been gotten out of the way, his name changed, his walk changed, he now had permanent access to the supernatural and never had another problem since then. Let that flesh die. Let that flesh die. It'll rise up on you. Why, Pastor, did this? How come he did it that way? How come she did it that way? He ain't had to handle it like that. See, that's that flesh rising up. As that flesh. See, now mind you, you may get to your destiny trying to half obey God. You may get there, but it's going to take you a whole lot longer. Notice now, from the time Jacob first experienced with God to the second experience with God was over 20-something years. And he went through heartache. Now, he overcame all those heartaches and headaches because he knew how to get in the supernatural. But why you got to keep going into the supernatural when you can permanently reside in the supernatural? Is that making sense? The experience at Bethel gave him permanent access into the spiritual realm. Watch this. At Bethel, he knew he must be at rest and only God can take him across to the other side. At Jabbok, he knew he must be at peace with God and put an end to all struggles with God's will and plans so that God can give him grace to govern and the power to prevail. Are you seeing this? See, prevailing power does not come from your confession of scripture. Prevailing power does not come from the amount of scriptures you know. Prevailing power comes when you're ready to yield to God's will and plans. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Period. Let me kill another sacred cow for you. Y'all gonna let me kill it? Never again in your life say, God, will it? What is your will for me? Never again. You will say, though, God, what is your will? What's the difference? I took me out. Why? Because it's not about me. Because when you say, God, what is your will for me? That means now you have only conditioned your heart to hear instructions that will benefit you. When you say, God, what is your will for me? What is your will for my life? I told you. I used to pray that prayer to God, what is your will for me? God, I used to pray that the Holy Spirit spoke to me one time and said, why did you ask me for the will for your life? Just ask me for my will. So now it opens up my heart that I can hear God for whatever he wants to do. Because when I say, God, what is your will for me? Or God, what is your plan for my life? That means I'm only focused on your instructions that's going to benefit me and my life. And I'm only going to do the instructions so they can benefit me. I told you we're going to change from a self-centric gospel to a God-centric gospel. See? Because when God, listen to me, your faith, your walk of faith is setting a foundation for those that come behind you. Have you ever, I'm going to define Matthew's one for you. If you ever read Matthew's the first chapter and you wonder why I kept saying, thank you, ma'am, but you wonder why I kept saying who begat who. It started with Abram and ended with Jesus. So just as magic, if one of them in between wouldn't have been obedient to what God said. What if one of them would have had the mindset, God, what is your will for my life? Because what, I give you one. If Ruth would have said, God, what is your will for my life? Once her husband died, she'd have went on back where she went. But she's in the lineage. Because she told her mother-in-law, oh, no. Your God is my God. Your people, my people. It's not about me no more. And she had every right to leave. Husband dead. Mother-in-law said, I ain't got no more sons to give you. She said, no, uh-uh. Your God is my God. Your people, my people. Now, if Ruth hadn't done that, wouldn't she had no prom? Listen to me. See, she had no promise of Boaz. She had no promise of Boaz. She ain't no Boaz existed. She just simply said, mother-in-law, your people, your God is my God. Your people, my people. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. That's all she said. So what if she'd have had a self-centric view of the gospel? Not only would she have messed up, she'd have messed us up. So eliminate from your vocabulary, God, what is your will for my life? All you do is ask God, God, what is your will? When you ask God, what is your will? Now God will begin to talk to you not only about your life, but begin to talk about things that are around you that you need to be aware of. People you need to be aware of. God will let you on insight on what he let your leader knows. Because now he knows your heart is not just for what you can get, but it's for his agenda. So whenever your leader get ready to make a move, God will prepare your heart ahead of time. You might not know the details, but he'll prepare your heart ahead of time that whenever your leader come and make the statement, hey, God say do this, you're like, oh, let's go. Okay, that's why you've been telling me that, God. Because it's no longer, God, what is your will for me? What is your will for my life? God is just simply, what is your will? Yep. Are you seeing this? Yep. The church today must come out of its dependence on the power of the flesh and self. Most churches are built on personalities and a person's ability to preach. Can you serenade me? Can you hum it right? I might not get no answers, but I know it's going to sound good. I'm going to feel good. That is catering to your flesh. Because if your leaders say everything you want to hear all the time, you're under the wrong person. You're under the wrong person. If they say everything you want to hear all the time, you're under the wrong person. Lastly, we are only ready to be a blessing to the families of the earth after we have acquired the blessings according to our birthright. According to our birthright. It is our birthright to be a supernatural people. It is our birthright to have church unusual, not church as the same, not church as they've known in the past. We have a right to have church unusual, church that rests in the supernatural. That is our birthright. The blessing of God could not be passed on past Jacob until he understood that he could not rely on his flesh any longer. The same thing has to happen for us. We cannot pass the blessing on, nor can we can't even receive it unless we realize that we must get rid of our flesh, allowing it to be in control, allowing it to dictate to us what we will do, what we won't do, what will happen, what won't happen, kill it and allow the supernatural to take hold. When that happens, we can receive the blessing, which is our birthright, and we can pass it on. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Don't ever again, I'm closing with this. Don't ever again ask God, what is the will for my life? I hope that helped you. See, because as we go forward, we're going to start getting into covenant. We're going to start talking about sacrifices. We're going to start talking about our love. We're going to start talking about, and sometimes God is going to tell you to do something that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
It's not even going to benefit you.
Right.
And so if you got this mindset, God, what is your will for me? You're not going to follow those instructions. And if you're not going to follow those instructions, then God can't trust you to do anything else. Are you seeing this? I'll see y'all next class.